Wearing a face shield is still a necessity outside homes in the Philippines as the country awaits President Duterte's decision on the matter. ICU beds continue to free up in Metro Manila hospitals amid a decline in COVID-19 cases. Later on in the program, we'll speak to Tourism Chief Bernadette Romulo Puyat on government's plan to boost the struggling tourism sector. And Senator Richard Gordon seriously considering another run at the presidency. Hi, I'm Pramina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Hey, thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad to have you with us today. Let's begin with this story. The Philippines' face shield mandate, well, that remains as the country awaits the decision of President Rodrigo Duterte on the matter. See, the president himself believes face shields are no longer necessary outside of hospitals. But on Thursday, the COVID-19 Interagency Task Force asked Duterte to still require face shields in all indoor spaces. Several lawmakers and local officials are urging government to do away with the requirement, calling it a mere accessory.
Face shield is extra accessory. It's just like an extra bumper in a car. What I favor is if you don't wear a mask, you're set aside and given a ticket and say you're not wearing a mask, you're not protecting yourself, and you are hurting others, possibly.
Meanwhile, Senator and Philippine Red Cross Chair Richard Gordon backing the easing of quarantine protocols for fully vaccinated returning Filipinos. His proposal, a 7-day home quarantine. They will then be tested for the virus on the 7th day.
He has not answered God knows that he's extremely busy, along with the ministries, and I've discussed this with them. They support it. It is the doctors within, as usual, who are very, very tight. They'd rather keep it strict. But you cannot police everybody. Ang importante dyan is you go the whole 7 days, even if you're have been vaccinated, even if you've been swabbed, and then on the 7th day, you get the swab or the test again so that it could be more liberal in terms of allowing them to go in a bubble in a place like Boracay where everything is already being organized in such a way that they'll be safe.
Under existing protocols, inbound travelers are required to undergo a 14-day quarantine, the first 10 days in a quarantine facilities, and the remaining 4 at home. Government is also coordinating with other countries and the World Health Organization on the use of COVID-19 passes, which vaccinated individuals can present at borders. Calls to ease pandemic restrictions come as the Philippines reported 6,637 more COVID-19 cases Thursday, the highest in 4 days. That takes the country's total case tally past 1,339,000. Of that number, 58,407 are considered active infections. 155 more patients have died, while over 4,000 have recovered. Philippine COVID-19 Treatment Chief Leopoldo Vega says the utilization rate at the intensive care units in Metro Manila hospitals has fallen. Vega says ICU utilization is now at 51%. Total healthcare utilization also down to 48%. This is lower than the figures 2 months ago when the ICUs were crowded amid a surge in COVID-19 cases. However, the hospital utilization rate in the Bicol region remains at critical levels.
Ipag-usap na kami ni Congressman Tarceda ang mga needs nila at yung parang gagawing strategy sa Bicol area. Kasi alam namin, Naga at Legazpi area, medyo tumataas ang surge kaya medyo aggressive na ang kanilang testing at saka contact tracing at saka isolation talaga doon sa area na yun dahil hindi na gagawin to, baka sa taas talaga.
The Philippine government increases the annual deployment ceiling for newly hired healthcare workers overseas from 5,000, the cap was increased to 6,500. Healthcare workers with skill sets that are considered mission critical with contracts as of May 31st shall form part of the adjusted ceiling. Healthcare workers under government-to-government labor agreements will be exempted from the increased cap. The deployment of nurses abroad was temporarily suspended earlier this month after the earlier quota of 5,000 was reached. Meanwhile, the Philippine government temporarily suspends the deployment of overseas Filipino workers to Oman. That's after Oman banned travelers from several countries, including the Philippines. Labor Secretary Silvestre Berrio III says the ban may be due to COVID-19 concerns. He is set to meet with Oman's Minister of Foreign Affairs Friday night to discuss the matter.
Ang hindi ko nga maintindihan, bakit tayo dinamay? Bakit tayo sinama? Kasi nakalagay Philippine travelers and travelers passing through the Philippines. So, pagkakako, ang ano nila, COVID, ano tayo, COVID threat tayo. Scheduled to meet tonight. Looking the intention there is for us to have a mutual lifting of the suspension.
Over in Indonesia, more than 350 doctors and medical workers test positive for COVID-19. That's despite being inoculated with Sinovac's vaccine. Most of the health workers in the Central Java district of Kudus are asymptomatic and self-isolating at home. But dozens are in the hospital with high fever and falling oxygen saturation levels. Kudus is battling an outbreak believed to be driven by the more transmissible Delta variant. The Chinese biopharmaceutical firm has yet to issue a comment on the efficacy of its vaccine against newer variants of the virus. Sinovac is the most widely used COVID-19 vaccine here in the Philippines. Well, it's back to the drawing board for a German biotech firm. As this report tells us, CureVac's COVID-19 vaccine candidate fell short in a late-stage trial.
In a disappointing setback for the European Union's vaccination campaign, German firm CureVac said on Wednesday that its COVID-19 vaccine was only 47% effective in a late-stage trial, missing the study's main goal. The efficacy results are based on 134 COVID-19 cases in the study, with about 40,000 volunteers in Europe and Latin America. At least 13 virus variants accounted for the infections among the study population. The company added that the interim results suggest the vaccine is effective in younger participants, but did not prove efficacy in those above the age of 60, the age group most at risk for severe COVID. The stakes for CureVac and prospective buyers of its vaccine in Europe had risen after age limits were imposed on the use of the Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca vaccines due to a link to extremely rare but potentially fatal clotting disorders. The EU secured up to 405 million doses of the vaccine in November, of which 180 million are optional. The shot was also expected to help in low- and middle-income countries that have lagged behind richer nations in the global immunization drive. Before the emergence of highly effective vaccines, the US Food and Drug Administration had targeted at least 50% efficacy. The World Health Organization had said it was looking for at least 70%. CureVac's shares sank more than 40% in early trading in Europe and were on course for their worst session since their US IPO last August.
France is the latest country to be liberated from one of the most basic precautions against the coronavirus pandemic. French Prime Minister Jean Castex announced Wednesday the mandatory wearing of face masks outdoors would be waived. He cited advice from health experts amid the easing number of COVID-19 cases. However, masks must still be worn in most workplaces, shops, and public transport, as well as outdoor spaces where crowds are gathered. But knowing that the virus is still circulating, some have chosen to keep on their masks.
I think I'm still convinced that the virus is around us. and it can't really go if the government decide it's gone, because it's still there in the world. And also, I'm not used to it, but I'm wearing it for my protection, because I have taken my first vaccine and there is 1 month to go for my next dose. So I'm still wearing it for my own protection.
The Japanese government also easing coronavirus curbs in 9 prefectures, including Tokyo. The residents are worried government is only doing this for next month's Olympic Games.
Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga announced on Thursday that Japan would ease emergency coronavirus curbs in 9 prefectures, including Tokyo, ahead of next month's Olympic Games. A number of measures, including limiting spectator numbers at big events, will remain in a bid to avoid any rebound in cases at the Games due to start on July 23rd.
I'd like to show the world that Japan can overcome a difficult time through people's efforts and wisdom. For that, I think it's important to hold a safe and secure Tokyo Games, curb the spread of infection in Japan during the period of the Games, and to prevent infection after the Games. I'd like to ask everyone to support the athletes at home by watching the Games on TV.
Polls have shown most Japanese people are worried about the possibility that the Games will spread infections, particularly as vaccination rates are still lower than in other wealthy countries.
It's so obvious they are lifting it only to hold the Tokyo Olympics. They can't even hide that. It's so apparent and it makes me frustrated. We worked so hard to bring down COVID-19 cases, but what's the point if we invite people to come from overseas?
Media reported that the government was considering allowing up to 10,000 spectators in stadiums during the Games, in line with a plan endorsed by health experts on Wednesday for events.
The tourism department wants to position the Philippines as a safe, fun, and competitive destination, even as the pandemic rages on. The push comes after the tourism industry's contribution to the Philippine economy plunged to 973 billion pesos in 2020. That's a 61.2% drop from 2.5 trillion pesos in 2019. The DOT says it would rebuild tourism confidence and grow demand in the domestic and foreign market over the next 2 years to help the industry recover. It's also working to provide perks to encourage domestic tourism. And joining us now is Tourism Secretary Bernadette Romulo Puyat. Secretary, good afternoon to you, and thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon to everybody watching you right now.
All right. When you talk about the tourism sector, Secretary, when you say badly battered, that to me is an understatement.
Yes.
With the state of the tourism industry right now. But let's talk about the current numbers, the current revenue. People are beginning to travel. Do we have initial data on that?
No initial data yet, but at least travel has already resumed. So we were quite happy last, the IATF resolution last May 31st, that travel restrictions were already lifted from NCR plus to MGCQ areas. And of course, the Department of Tourism fought that there be no age restrictions, because diba, Filipinos travel as a family. So parang, you know, so initially, dapat hindi kasama yung over 65 and below 18. But then we said that as long as we were pushing for that, and we are happy that the DOH and the health experts agreed, as long as there is test before travel. So at least now Filipinos can travel as a family starting June 1. And then it was extended up to the end of June.
Mm-mm. What do you say, though, Secretary, to those who are of the opinion that this is sort of setting a false belief that it is already safe out there, that this may lead to spikes? Because that's the concern of many,
correct.
Secretary.
Yes, correct. When we restart tourism, we always, in the IATF, the health experts are very prominent. And if they say no, then there's no travel. The health experts always have the last say. Mm-hmm. And it was the health experts and the DOH that actually mentioned that pwede na mag-travel from NCR Plus to MGCQ areas. By the way, the places that are open for tourism are MGCQ areas, meaning cases are low and pwede nang tourism. Mm. So, in fact, there was already travel prior to the spike last March. But it was also the health experts who said, no travel. Mm. Even if there's tests before travel, no travel. So that's why Holy Week, everybody had to cancel Holy Week and summer plans because the doctors and the health experts said no travel because the cases in NCR are still high and you don't want to spread the virus to all these other tourist destinations. Mm. And then, so we were quite happy last May 31 that they said, oh, pwede na June 1. And again, of course, we want to restart tourism. As you saw in the NEDA report, tourism employed 5.7 million people. And according to the NEDA report, it's now the unemployment, maybe 1 million people lost their jobs because of the pandemic. So there has to be a balance, restarting the economy, but at the same time, not to compromise health and safety. Mm-hmm. But again,
Secretary, yung mga nagsasabi na, ito naman si Secretary Puyate, push ng push, pero there's no, parang hindi naman niya pinoproteksyonan yung mga turista. That's not the case.
It's not the case. First of all, the health experts always have the last say in the NITAG. They always have the last say, the health experts in the IATF. I remember last March, because dapat Holy Week, that was the peak season already and summer. In Boracay, it was already 80 to 90% full. But the health experts flat out said, no travel. Mm-hmm. So we listen. We always listen to the health experts because we're not. But of course, you can't naman remove it from me. We always push because so many people have lost their jobs. You know, the tourism, the ones working in tourism, they always tell me, Ma'am, hindi naman kami mamamatay sa COVID, pero baka mamatay kami sa gutom.
Mm-hmm.
So there has to be a balance naman. A balance.
Yeah.
But of course, at the end of the day, it's really the health experts that we listen to. But then when they told us na June 1, pwede na ang travel from NCR Plus, of course we were happy. That had their go signal.
Mm. Secretary, let's talk about the workers. As you said, hundreds of thousands of them really lost their jobs to the pandemic. How are they doing? In the meantime that, you know, we wait for the tourism economy to be vibrant once again, what are they doing now and how are they doing?
Yes. Okay. To give the exact numbers, in 2019, the tourism sector employed about 5.72 million people. And then it went down. There's an 18.1% decrease. So it went down to 4.68 million. Mm-hmm. A lot of them, of course, so that's like close to 1 million losing their jobs. Some of them have pivoted. They're selling online already just to make both ends meet. And of course, a lot of our tourist destinations are under MGCQ already. So kahit papaano, nagkakatrabaho, but konti-konti. And then some have their jobs back, pero flexi pay. So it's quite important talaga to reopen. And of course, it was so important for them. Number one, those working in quarantine hotels and isolation facilities are now in A1. So that's important for them. In the tourism sector, they all want to be vaccinated. I hear about vaccination hesitancy, but in the tourism sector, they want to be vaccinated. And all the others are in A4. So slowly, they're all being vaccinated because they know that is the only way to be able to restart tourism safely and to protect themselves.
In fact, the past couple of days, we've been seeing a lot of businesses as well, maybe related to tourism, maybe not, but they've been posting that a percentage of their employees have been vaccinated.
Yes.
This is going to help, right? This is going to help regain that trust.
It will help. In fact, I was looking at the social media posts of Eric D. They own Tim Hoan, etc. And he was so proud that all their waiters were 100% vaccinated. So it also helps in Because in fact, when I would go around the country, they would always say, "Ma'am, masaya kami magre-restart ang tourism, pero kailan ang bakuna? Natatakot naman ako magkasakit." So at least this is all good news. And currently, right now in Bohol, we are so thankful to Secretary Galvez and Secretary Vince Dizon because we were able to start today the tourism frontliners. We will be able to jab 10,000 tourism frontliners in Bohol. So they're quite happy, yes.
Here's the thing though, Secretary, is everything up to you? Meaning if an LGU is not in your radar, kung hindi ka napakiusapan, kung hindi humingi ng tulong sa'yo, hindi ba sila mababakunahan? What can you say about other LGUs who don't push for the tourism sector or other sectors to be vaccinated as well?
Oh, it's actually not up to me. First of all, the opening again of tourism sector is actually really also up to the LGU. Like some LGUs, they're under MGCQ. They still don't want to open. But of course, we're convincing them to open. Some LGUs, though there are no more age restrictions, they prefer their age restrictions. Now with the vaccination, we've already been getting in touch with each and every tourist destination to give us a number. For example, in Boracay, they gave us 40,000 that they need to be vaccinated. In Panglao, in Bohol, I think it's Panglao, Tagbilaran, and Anda, I think they're giving us 70,000 initially. So we're continually asking the different LGUs what number. And of course, I still have to write to Secretary Galvez and Secretary Vince to convince. But I'm so grateful to them because they understand that the only way for us to reopen and revive tourism is if people are vaccinated.
Let's talk about the numbers. Pre-pandemic levels. We're now what? June, middle of the year. Nagsimula ng klase.
Yeah.
In pre-pandemic levels, kakauwilan ng mga tao galing sa summer vacation nila.
Right.
What would have been the numbers then? This time during pre-pandemic.
Well, last 2019, we had 110 million domestic trips. So that's 110 million, 2019. Now it's quite hard to say because of the ups and downs of the cases. Like,
yeah.
I'm very happy that Siargao finally reopened yesterday. They only decided to reopen yesterday. It's really up to the LGU. But of course, I respect the LGU's decision because at the end of the day, they know the cases in their destination. Mm-hmm. So we just have to work with them. Like, for example, in El Nido, they have agreed to point, but they haven't opened up the El Nido itself, only point to point. And your movements are limited. So it's really, at the end of the day, up to the LGU. In Puerto Princesa, sayang, we were about to reopen already March 22 for tourism. Test before travel, the mayor already agreed. But naabutan ng increase ng cases in NCR Plus, so it never pushed through.
Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, we've been talking about the losses. How many years do you think before the industry can recoup the losses?
It's quite hard to say. You know, to be honest, I thought that we were on a roll already before March because the hotels were already telling me that they were already preparing. They were hiring additional staff, especially in Boracay for the Holy Week. And then all of a sudden, bawal na naman. So it's because like last December, we had the UK variant. You know, last December, when people would come to the Philippines, we all had already allowed balikbayans to come.
Oh.
And then biglang nagka UK variant. And then nung December, when as soon as they arrive, they test when they arrive. And when they're negative, they're good to go. But because of the UK variant, nagkaroon bigla ng 14-day quarantine. It's really so. And then yesterday during the IATF, Dr. Salvania told us about the Delta variant.
Yes.
Yes, there's a new variant. But of course, it was the Department of Tourism also who is pushing for the green lanes. Not necessarily for, and pushing for the green lanes more for those vaccinated, especially for our OFWs, our returning Filipinos, and the balikbayans. I'm pushing for it. And of course, we are talking about it, how to authenticate fully vaccinated. Because I feel that kung fully vaccinated naman abroad, pwedeng kung 10 days, pwede na baka 7 days. may quarantine pa rin. Lalo na sa OFWs. Though they are not tourists, I feel bad because, Carmina, people I don't know, OFWs have been texting me, Ma'am, pag-uwi namin, naku, 10 days, parang, di ba nasa kwarto lang sila, lalo na yung mga balikbayan, nauubos na raw yung leave nila 10 days pa lang daw. So, but of course, we are discussing this, how to authenticate the vaccination. And I'm not naman alone. Other members of the IATF are pushing for the green lane. But nga, sabi ni Dr. Salvanya, wait, parang think there's the Delta variant.
Correct.
Yeah, so again, that's how we are in the IATF. The economic managers are always pushing to reopen, to maybe reduce quarantine. But then Dr. Salvanya, the doctors are there to balance things out. Kasi kailangan balance nga eh. So,
Secretary, let's talk about vaccine passes. Is this the future of either domestic or we have foreigners traveling here in the country, that they should be able to present vaccine passes? And how sure are we that these are legit passes?
Yeah, I would like to quote UNWTO, the Secretary General, Zura Pologlikashvili. He was saying that vaccinations will be the key for recovery. So right now, that's the only way that we could safely reopen tourism when not only the tourists are fully vaccinated, but also the destination is fully vaccinated. Like I understand in Phuket, they are targeting July to reopen, but they have to be 70% vaccinated in the destination itself. Because it's not only about the travelers being fully vaccinated, but it should be the destination itself to be fully vaccinated. So both are protected. The locals, those working in the tourism sector. So that's the only way you can remove probably quarantine as of now. That's the only thing we can think of.
Yeah, malayo pa tayo dun, Secretary.
That's why in Bohol, it's important for us because we have 7,641 islands. It's important for us that maybe, let's say, in Bohol or Boracay, they have international airports. Pwede naman dumiretso dun. They don't have to pass through NAIA. Maybe we're looking at Thailand. Maybe in Bohol, there's an international airport. In fact, a lot of chartered flights, they already want to go to from Korea. They all already want to go to Bohol directly. But the only way we can do that to reduce quarantine is if the locals themselves are vaccinated.
So,
could be per island. Kasi mahirap talaga kung buong country. But maybe per island where there is an international airport.
But for domestic travel, halimbawa, taga San Juan ka, pupunta ka ng Boracay.
Correct.
Hindi naman alam ng taga Boracay ano ang itsura ng San Juan Pass. Is that going to be a prerequisite that you would have that pass? And do they know the kind of all these different kinds of passes? Go ahead.
Travel protocols are really up to the LGU. But having said that, we have some LGUs who've already been asking us kung pwede raw, kung fully vaccinated, pwede na. Again, it's the issue of authentication.
Yeah.
Di ba yung RT-PCR nga na 15, so more pa yung vaccination. So DICT already told us, I think in a few days, they will, because they're supposed to have the main parang all those vaccinated. So we want to discuss how na hindi ito mapepeke. And para lang, like what you're saying, San Juan Pass, malay ba naman yung tiga Boracay kung talagang authenticated siya talaga, hindi siya fake. So we are already discussing that. That was a long conversation yesterday during the IATF. Of course, kung yung RT-PCR left and right nga, di ba, na fake, we want that to be, we want to authenticate. But again, travel protocols are really also up to the LGUs.
Okay, but can you see that as the future of travel here, that there will be a uniform vaccine pass for everyone to present?
At least what we want is that hindi na pepeke yung vaccination certificate. But it's really up to the LGU if it's their comfort zone, kung fully vaccinated, papayagan na nila. But kami sa IATF, at least me in the Department of Tourism, I just want to make sure that they are authenticated.
Yeah. So could it be a possibility that all those vaccinated individuals will, you know, input all their data, DICT will capture it, and ganun ba ang pag-usapan ninyo?
Pinag-uusapan, but of course, I'm also asking the doctors, is it safe na ba kung fully vaccinated, pwede nang pumunta sa tourist destination? Will they still be carriers? Or dapat ba for them to be accepted, dapat ba fully vaccinated na rin yung mga tiga Boracay? It's the same for international and domestic. So
yeah.
I'm constantly talking to the doctors about that na. Kasi syempre, I not only want to protect the travelers, but I want to protect those working in the tourist destinations, the locals.
Which brings me to my question, Secretary. You know, we've been talking for more than 10 minutes now, and it seems to me that, you know, there are still a lot of things unknown.
Yes.
A lot of factors. There's a lot of moving pieces still.
Yes.
So the question is, how do you even begin to plan the recovery of your sector when there are all of these moving pieces and a lot of unknown factors?
I know. It's like there's always a curveball. Right when we think we've already have it made, and then there's a curveball. There's like a first the UK variant, and now we have the Delta variant. But then at the end of the day, first, what is good is already there are vaccines. Unlike last year, but they were saying that vaccines will come 3 to 4 years. But now at least the vaccines are coming, number one. Number two, we already have health and safety guidelines. When we started last year, June, we had no handbook on COVID. But now we already know. In fact, last September 2020, the Philippines got the WTTC safe travel stamp, which means that we are our guidelines are according to world protocols. It passed the world protocols. So at least we already have first vaccines. Number two, we already have the guidelines. And it's been more than a year. At least we already know the do's and don'ts. So unlike before, it was really uncertain. But now we already know the minimum health and safety protocols, etc. And yon, at least it's not like before that it was unknown. We are slowly getting, learning as we go along how to go around this virus. But what is more important is the vaccines are there. If you have the chance already, please don't wait for a brand. Just be vaccinated, because that's the only way to restart not only tourism, but the whole economy.
You have three strategies that you're following in your recovery plan. Tell us about that, and also how you're going to position the Philippines in the next 2 years, and why the next 2 years? Why that time period? Go ahead, Secretary.
Okay, first is number four. We have to ensure the protection of jobs and the safety of tourism workers, visitors, and communities. That's why we have all these health and safety guidelines in place. And we are pushing for the vaccination of our tourism frontliners, because that's the only way to protect them. Number two is to support the recovery of tourism enterprises. Because of Bayanihan 2, we were able to get 6 billion pesos. And we are happy to note that these are for loans. Before, the grace period was at 1 year. We are so happy that the SB Corps extended the grace period to 2 years. So kung umutang ako ngayon, I can pay na the next 2 years. This is zero interest rate, zero collateral. And the 2 years grace period is quite important for businesses to get back on their feet. Kasi hirap naman, di ba? Uutang ka ngayon and you don't know when tourism will restart. So they gave us the 2 year grace period. And of course, rebuild confidence and demand in domestic and foreign market. We are quite lucky that tourism contributed 12.8% to the economy, to the GDP last 2019. 10.8% of that came from domestic tourism. So we are pushing for domestic tourism. By the way, it's not only the Philippines doing this. All the other countries are also pushing for domestic tourism because of all the travel restrictions all over the world. But we are quite lucky because we are very strong in domestic tourism. So at least we're pushing for that. And we are lucky we have that WTTC safe travel stamp. Meaning when the enterprises, the hotels, the resorts are accredited by the Department of Tourism, it is world standard. So And of course, it is important now to rebuild confidence. And, you know, at least we have to still push for domestic tourism at the start. But eventually, we hope, of course, when we are ready, we will be accepting foreign tourists. Although we are already accepting balikbayans, but there's still that 10-day quarantine.
So why for the next 2 years? Is that the time period that you're giving yourself or the tourism industry to heal itself and finally, you know, reopen?
Well, at least for me, I'm thinking up to 2022 because I'm there up to 2022. So that's what I'm looking at because I can't speak for the tourism secretary after me. But I'm speaking of until my term. Actually, 1 year na lang, 1 year.
Mm-mm.
That's what we wanted, to position ourselves as a safe but fun destination. But of course, stress on the safety.
Mm. All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Naubusan na naman tayo.
I know, palagi na lang, yes.
Tourism Secretary Bernadette Romulo Puya, thank you so much for joining us today. Take care. Keep safe.
Thank you very
much. See you soon.
Thank you. Stay safe.
All right, we're going to take a break now. Up ahead, following his summit with Vladimir Putin, the White House now considering a meeting between Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping. More on that when we come back. This is Dateline Philippines. Stay with us here on ANC. And we're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Wearing a face shield, still a necessity outside homes in the Philippines as the country awaits President Duterte's decision on the matter. ICU beds continue to free up in Metro Manila hospitals amid a decline in COVID-19 cases. And Senator Richard Gordon seriously considering another run at the presidency. Back with more news. A member of the Philippine Health Department's technical advisory group rejects the shortening of the quarantine period for returning overseas Filipino workers. Infectious diseases specialist Edsel Salvanya cites the threat posed by the COVID-19 Delta variant first detected in India. Salvanya says the current 14-day quarantine period is still the best way to prevent the spread of COVID-19.
Dahil ito po yung pamamaraan na kahit may makalusot, kahit mag-false negative pa man yung test, hindi na nakakahawa by the time matapos tong 14 days. Sa pag-aaral ng Centers for Disease Control, ang nakikita po nila pag ang isang tao ay nahawahan ng COVID on the day of travel, tapos dumating po siya, kung tinest mo yon on arrival, ang chance na mag-positive yung test na yon ay 0% po kasi kakahawa lang niya. Tapos, mananatili po siyang nakakahawa up to 10 days. By the 10th day, kahit hindi mo siya tinest, yung amount of virus na nilalabas nitong tao ay halos hindi na po nakakahawa. Less than 2% na po or 2.4% po yung risk na makahawa pa siya na makalusot. Para mawala lalo yung 2.4% na yon, ina-advise pa rin natin na merong 4 days na home quarantine.
Meanwhile, Salvanya still recommends the use of face shields outdoors despite calls to scrap the mandate.
Even outdoors, increased ang transmission ng Delta variant by about 40%. So para sa akin, kahit pa sabihin nila na hindi na required ang face shield, lalo na with the threat of this Delta variant, nagamit pa rin po talaga ako ng face shield. I will recommend it because it is an extra layer of protection. Ang Delta variant is 60% more transmissible than Alpha. Ano ba yung Alpha? Yung Alpha is UK variant, which is already 60% more transmissible than the original virus. So 60% plus 60% pa. So halos 4 times po yung pwedeng maging increased transmissibility na to.
senior centers in New York City finally welcome back the elderly for indoor activities after being closed for more than a year due to the pandemic. Take a look.
85-year-old Justo Fletas says it feels good to be back doing what he loves, playing pool with his buddies.
Beautiful. No word to say how I feel. I feel 100%.
After being closed for over a year, senior centers in New York City finally welcomed back the city's elderly for indoor activities this week. Folks like Fletas, many of whom weathered months of isolation and fear, were finally able to reunite with a small group of friends.
That's my part of my life, the pool.
The pool.
Yeah, yeah, I'm playing good.
Like Fletas, many seniors were left in the lurch during the health crisis with nowhere to safely socialize, according to program coordinator at Star Senior Center, Maggie Hernandez.
Before we opened, seniors were already calling, asking for us to reopen. It's very challenging for all of us, not only for our seniors, but for staff too. We faced new challenges, being closed, doing everything online, including running classes, teaching seniors how to use Zoom, which is a challenge in itself. But we were able to get it all done.
According to Hernandez, staff at Star Senior Center made some 35,000 wellness calls to its seniors, who reported suffering from isolation, anxiety, and depression. Centers such as this one in the Washington Heights neighborhood of Upper Manhattan are a lifeline for many senior citizens who rely on them for food, companionship, and recreation.
Seniors bore the brunt of the COVID crisis. They were the most vulnerable, and we all had to do everything in our power to protect our seniors.
On June 1st, New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio announced that senior centers could resume outdoor activities. And on June 14th, indoor gatherings would follow. Many senior centers have struggled to come back while trying to adhere to COVID-19 requirements. But on this day at Star Senior Center, a small but determined group of elderly women stretched with the aid of chairs and moved to the beat of blaring Latin music.
We're all so thrilled to be back.
In other news, Senator Richard Gordon eyeing another shot at the presidency. More than a decade after losing in the 2010 polls, the Philippine Red Cross chair says he's almost sure that he will run again next year. Gordon, however, says he is still considering several factors before making an announcement. Among those factors, his possible running mate.
If one has something to offer and you don't join the fray, you're a coward.
What are the chances of you running? I mean, is it 90%, 80%? What is it?
I am available. There are people who are trying to negotiate certain things right now among my group and seeing whether that would be a better chance for us if we have somebody who will run that is acceptable to the public.
The Armed Forces of the Philippines insists it is not targeting indigenous groups like the Lumads. The AFP says the three members of the Lumad Manobo community who were killed by the military in Surigao del Sur Tuesday were New People's Army rebels. The military adds it was the rebels who fired first.
According to the report that was submitted to us, they are wielding firearms and they engage our soldiers in a firefight. This led us to the conclusion, the operating unit is to conclude that these are members of the New People's Army. That place has been a haven for the terrorist group. They always recruit members of the indigenous communities as their willing prey or as the prey that they would like to be forced into fighting government.
But a resident of the town where the incident took place says the military is lying. He claims the victims were unarmed civilians who were only taking a break from doing farm work.
Nung gabi yun, may dumating na military mga 10 o'clock na sa gabi. Tapos, dala nila yung isang bangkay na nakabalot ng plastic. Tapos, tinawag nila yung mga residente ng community. Tapos, sabi nila, may nabaril daw sila na babaeng NPA. Tapos, nung pagtingin ng mga residente sa community, nakilala agad nila na anak nila yun, si Angel yun, hindi naman yung NPA. Hindi po pwede magkaroon sila ng baril kasi nga po mga civilian po sila. Kung mayroong mga baril na ipinakita po ng mga picture sa iba pa, siguradong planted po iyon para lang masabi, no, mabigyan ng pagtakpan yung ginawa nilang pag-massacre doon sa mga civilian.
PhilHealth President Dante Gueran maintains the state insurer was not a party to the recently dismissed complaints involving its current and past executives. The Office of the Ombudsman earlier dismissed graft and grave misconduct complaints against the 11 individuals who were sued by PhilHealth employees back in 2019. The Ombudsman cited insufficient evidence and lack of probable cause in its decision. Gueran says the ruling was served individually to the concerned parties. He adds it should be respected by everyone involved and that the public should move past the issue. News overseas now. After his highly anticipated meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin, the White House now considering talks between President Joe Biden and his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping. The possible meeting could come as the U.S. and China spar over wide-ranging issues from the pandemic to trade and to human rights. The White House says the talks could be done through a phone call or a meeting on the sidelines of another international summit. Biden and Xi are both expected to attend the G20 meeting in October, hosted by Italy. China recently fumed over a communique issued at Biden's urging by G7 leaders. It scolded Beijing over human rights in its Xinjiang region and Hong Kong. It also demanded a full and thorough investigation of the origins of the coronavirus in China. We're going to take another break. Still to come, the Milwaukee Bucks force a Game 7 in the playoff series with the Brooklyn Nets. Stay with us. You're watching Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Back with some sports action. There will be a Game 7 in the second round NBA playoff series between the Brooklyn Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks staved off elimination by dismantling the Nets in Game 6, 104-89. Chris Middleton erupted for 38 points for the Bucks, while two-time MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo added 30 points. The Bucks never trailed and broke the game wide open with a 14-0 run in the fourth quarter. Game 7 will be held in Brooklyn this Saturday. The Philippine Embassy in Japan mourns the death of the veteran composer Issei Kobayashi, the man behind the opening and closing theme songs of the iconic anime Voltes 5. The embassy says Kobayashi endeared himself to generations of Filipinos who followed the Voltes 5 series through the years. It thanked Kobayashi on behalf of the millions of Filipino fans who grew up singing along to the show's theme songs. Kobayashi died of heart failure on May 30th. He was 88 years old. A new documentary about Jose Rizal features the little-known aspects about his first trip to Europe. Finding Rizal in the Time of Barriers premieres on ANC tomorrow. That's 7 in the evening, in time for the National Hero's 160th birthday. Join Lauren Legarda as she takes you on a tour of German towns where Rizal stayed for a part of his life. Discover how Rizal's genius and humanity shone through despite the barriers he faced. You can also catch the documentary on the ABS-CBN News channel or make that YouTube channel or the Facebook pages of the Foreign Affairs Department, the National Commission for Culture and the Arts, and the Office of Deputy Speaker Lauren Legarda. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Permina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Play back this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on ANC.